talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange, read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on, turn on, I'm in, is on today, the Exchange Club.
And away we go. It's a Getaway Friday here on WGH Talk. Friday, May the 29th, 2026, last Friday in the month of May, 12 and a half minutes past the hour. Joined in studio by Glenn Coble. Matt Morgan is off, I think, on a little vacation weekend.
Fooling around.
And tonight, I'll be on 8 to 10. Should be a fun show live. And Matt taped the show before he left, so there will be a new show tonight. 10:15 until 11. And the phone lines are open. We do enjoy the back and forth. 740-383-9944. We were talking about marriage last hour, Glenn, one of our favorite discussions on this station. And basically, I think we decided that marriage is a bust.
Well, I really enjoyed listening to the lady that spoke to us last, because she had a lot of good thoughts about it and was not married. And I like that idea. I probably, if I had it to do over again, I don't know.
Go ahead and say it.
I don't think my wife would go along with it, but if we ever got a divorce, I would never get married again. I don't think marriage is helpful.
Why isn't it helpful?
Well, it's helpful in one way. It forces you to stay together, and I like that. But I don't think it's required to love each other. And I'm not sure you really do love each other. I'm not sure what love is. I think you get used to being with each other, and you like each other.
I think love is a lack of imagination.
Wow. Where'd that come from?
You asked me what I thought love was.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how you got there.
Well, here's what it is. Because clearly there is no definition of what love is.
Right.
And what you would feel is love, what somebody else could be totally different. They might not feel it's that way. So I think you, to use that terminology, you know how you're using it, but it's a lack of imagination, because can't you come up with something else? Can't you be more descriptive in why you like that person?
Well, you know, I think when you're in your 20s and maybe early 30s, love is sex. And that may be just me, but I think as you grow together, my love for my wife is like my love for my puppy dog or my love for my children. I like being around them. And as we've gotten older, I like the feeling that somebody's there with me, my wife and my children and my grandchildren.
Well, that's why I think marriage at 80 is good.
Yeah.
Get a nurse. Somebody.
I don't need one yet.
No, but I think it's always good to have a nurse on hand, 80 and above. I think there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
And that's company at that point, because you slow down.
Oh,
you
might have. Close.
Well, I know, I about knocked it over. But I think that's a good thing. 740-383-9944. If anybody's got anything to say, feel free. You know, all the relationships that I was in my life, one of them got close to marriage. It was an engagement, but I did not propose. Just for the record, I did not propose. I was told that I...
that you were going to get married?
Well, I was... it happened...
That'll do it in.
Well, it happened at Christmas, and they announced that we were engaged. News to me.
That would be a shock.
It happened. It happened just that way. I swear it happened that way. And, you know, I never did quite understand.
Did she announce it, or did you?
No, she announced it.
Oh, yeah.
She announced it.
That was not a good move.
No, and there was no ring... There was no, I never have been down on my knee in my life. No, it never happened.
Do you ever watch Big Bang Theory?
Yes.
Okay. The scene where he proposes to, what's her name? Where the guy proposes to, such a pretty girl, Cuoco. Anyway, that is a neat scene of love. You know,
what's he do?
He says they're talking about getting together, and he doesn't know how to do it, and she doesn't know what to do, and he says, wait a minute, and he reaches in his pocket, and he pulls out a ring that he's had in his pocket for several months, and she said, oh my gosh, where'd you get that? He said, I've had a few months. You know why he's had it. He wanted to give it to her.
One day, yeah.
And he put it on her, and she starts to semi-cry. And that's kind of the type of love I remember, you know.
Oh.
It's just beautiful. It's just nice.
Well, I think that's more sentimental, though.
Yeah, oh, that's terribly sentimental.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if that's love. I think that's sentimental.
I do think there is love. I think.
Well, that's what I just said. It's lack of imagination.
Okay.
Let's just put that down.
Okay. We'll put that down.
Put that down, please. No, because I'm telling you, any relationship I was ever in, now, I've said this before, and people don't like this, but it's, I'm just being honest. Now, they say, have you ever told anybody you love them? Well, yes, I have. But did I mean it? Probably not. Probably not. I said it because they said it.
And there's a whole thing on Big Bang Theory about that.
Well, too. Yeah, what are you going to say back?
Yeah, you got to say, okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you like the person and you're having a good time spending time with them, well, what are you going to say? Because if you don't say it back, you're it's going to be a conversation.
I hate to throw this out all the time, but I really think most people who say I love you initially are just saying, let's have sex.
Really?
Yeah, I really believe that.
Well, I don't.
At least I was when I was in my 20s.
Well, all I'm... See, so you didn't believe it either.
No, I didn't.
Okay, well, see, there you go. Nobody believes it.
My wife did. Okay. That's all that counted.
But you meant it with her, right?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, all I'm saying is I don't believe I ever meant it. They were nice enough people, girls, but I don't know. They were whatever. 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, that wasn't exactly how you did it.
What wasn't what? Oh, wait a second. Wait a second. Mary out there listening, Leonard and Penny.
Yes, that's thank you.
Okay, there
Leonard
we go.
And Penny, yeah.
Thank you, Mary. Okay, go ahead.
And Kaylee Cuoco was her.
Yes.
Quick, whatever.
What a beautiful girl. Yeah.
You said you was bragging about it at the time. That you just tell them you love them so you can get in their pants.
Well, that's
No,
I was.
I did not say that. No.
She told me she loved me. So
no.
What to do?
No. I think you misheard. I never said anything.
All over your eyes, Glenn.
No. I'm telling you, all I said was when somebody says they love you, you've got to say it back. Because we were having the conversation on this show at that time about do you say it back if somebody says it to you? And some people were being, well, if I don't feel it, then no, I don't. Well, baloney.
Yeah.
You say it because it's like getting
proposed.
Yes. It's like being proposed to. I think it's very hard to say no to a proposal because, you know, if you say no, that relationship's over.
That's right. You killed it.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Oh, I don't think you... If somebody gets down on one knee and says, will you marry me? And you go, no. That relationship's on no longer steady footing.
I do know one or two people that got down on their knee and asked, and the answer was no, and they ended up getting married. So,
well, persistence.
But you got to learn to get to enjoy each other's company.
Yeah.
Without everything going to sex.
In my case, when
it
I was in my 20s.
It would be a bad idea if you were seeing some girl and you've been seeing her for 6 months to make a, you know, pact with her. We ain't going to have sex for a month. Or we ain't going to have sex for 2 months. And we're just going to see if we like each other.
Well, if my girlfriends had said that to me, we wouldn't have even known each other after about 15 minutes.
Oh, Lord.
But you know what it is. I mean, after with, I don't care how gorgeous the girl is or young or whatever, or, you know, the sex is not exciting like it once was.
No. As you get older,
and
it's
that's
not.
What you're basing your love on, you know. And if the girl gets on your nerves while you're sitting there watching a football game, or and you just love football, I don't think she's a girl for you, you know.
Well, I married, my wife was a cheerleader, so you know why I married her.
But here's the problem. But here's the problem. Now, this is an issue in the social media age. If you go on social media and you're already married to the person or engaged or you're already in a relationship and you do one of these big flowery posts about how much you love them and how great they are and all this blah, 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 I know that that's phony because why would you do that? They should know that. That's the person you're... I shouldn't know.
Yeah, you do it to that person.
Yeah, you do it to that person. I don't need to know.
Tell them, not the world.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why do I need to know why you love them and how much you love them? You better tell them.
Yeah.
You know, and are you telling them? Probably not. Probably they have to read it? I mean, this is so stupid.
I was good about that.
She thinks, well, he ain't saying it to me. I ain't going to say it to him. It doesn't matter who says it first. If you enjoy their companionship without the sex, you know, it doesn't matter who says it.
I don't understand that at all.
I think you can compliment people. I think you can compliment people and say, you know, this person is very caring. This person is very polite. But
got good ass.
No.
See, oh, now we're really in love.
Once you do that, see, that's when I don't believe it anymore, because then I believe it's something else. But there you go. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yep.
All right, phone lines are open. 740-383-9944.
My heart.
Yeah, this show took an ugly turn there. 740-383-9944. You know what? If that's all you like about somebody, there's going to be problems.
Well, that's why I waited till I was, 25 or 6 before I got married.
Yeah, there you go. You have to, I don't know. It's a whole thing. I think you gotta like the person. You gotta have a similar interest.
Yeah, my wife and I did. The football players.
There you go.
She liked the football players, and I was one of them.
And you were one of the football players. Well, okay, find common ground, I guess, is the best way to put it. Now, here's an interesting thing, because you, Glenn, used to do call-ins at WMRN.
Yeah.
I brought this up yesterday. I thought this was an interesting thing. There's a gentleman, and I can't think of his name, but he's trying, because now that WMRN more or less doesn't exist as a local station, he's trying to put together a page of the history of WMRN. Now, his grandfather worked there, and it was Terry Cole was his grandfather. And I worked with his grandfather, and his grandfather is no longer with us. And he put a post up the other day. Now, he's been working on this for a while. And essentially, the post was how this project to him is associated with sadness and grief.
That's too bad.
Well, because it's about his grandfather.
Sure,
because his grandfather gave a lot of years to this place. But the way he described the place, WMRN, I think it was more the feelings of his grandfather and maybe the feelings he had toward his grandfather. Because I said my experience there was not exactly, from somebody who worked there, was not exactly the experience this person was describing who did not work there. It wasn't a bad place to work, but it was not a friendly place. As I said, people came in and shut their doors in the morning. People were not really talking to each other. We didn't have Christmas parties, like big office Christmas parties. It was not, I don't think people knew when your birthday was. Nobody came around and said happy birthday. The interaction you had with people was so limited. I said in the years I was there, I probably had 6 conversations with the program director.
Oh, my.
They just were hidden. They would go to their office, and unless you needed to go to them, which wasn't often, that's how hands-off it was. I don't know if they were listening to you. I think if something went wrong, they might have heard about it. But unless something went wrong, you never heard about it. And when I worked there, there were a lot of people in that building. That whole back hallway was nothing but sales staff. They still had the hometown mailer when I was there. And
that's what radio is all about, is sales.
Yeah, well, that's what the back hallway was all about. But then you also had the secretary who was there. You had the person who did the traffic, which was the scheduling. She had her own office. You had the program director. You had 4 stations operating out of there. You had the newsroom. you had the producer who did all the commercials and things like that. There were a lot of people working in that building in different shifts. But you didn't conversate. It was not a very conducive place to work. Now, you did not work there, but you did some... We did Collins.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what was your interpretation of that place? The times you would go there to maybe record a spot or do a call-in?
A little cold.
It was cold.
Yeah.
It really was.
And I liked several of the people that worked there, but I only liked them outside of there because we didn't talk when I went in there because they were doing something work.
Did when you walk through the halls, did you see people talking?
No.
It didn't happen.
It was quiet.
It was very quiet.
Yeah.
It was a very weird atmosphere. And I thought all radio was like that. And then I went to WDCM, and people did talk.
DCM,
which was on Center Street.
Oh, okay.
No, Church.
Okay.
I think you did call-ins there, too.
Don't remember.
I'm pretty sure you did.
DCM. I don't recall that.
And then this station... We did a lot of things together. We have Christmas parties, anniversary parties. We do things like this.
I hate them.
No, you love them. You love them. Fruitcake tosses. And I realized the atmosphere is not like it was there. It was a very...
Business-like?
Yeah, but I'm not sure. Honestly, I can't tell you who was friends there. I don't know if there were close friendships. I don't know if anybody was friends with anybody. It was a very odd atmosphere.
Huh. Yeah, okay. Well, I remember some of the people that are there, and I won't mention their names. They weren't very comfortable to be around.
There you go. But I will say this. There were a lot of people there who were not on the air all the time that don't get mentioned. And I think that's unfortunate. There were, talk about sales staff. We had a lady, she did the hometown mailer when I was there, but her name was Leela Cook.
Yeah,
and Leela has since, she's since went on to her reward, but she was a wonderful lady. Anytime you went back to her office, now there was somebody who would talk. Kind, good salesperson, and all the rest of her life. The last time I saw her, she came into the grocery store and gave me a big hug. I mean, just, and we never did that when we worked together.
Yeah.
Nice lady. You don't remember her because she was never on the air. Mark Turner. Mark Turner was the production guy. He would record the spots and the, you heard his voice a lot, but he would never go, "I'm Mark Turner." He was just voicing the commercials or things like that. Mark was so talented. And when I would do an anniversary special or something like that, I'd say, "Mark, could you get this clip for me and turn it into a bumper for the show?" And he would do it. Mark was sensational as a producer guy, producer there. There were a lot of people like that that never got mentioned. And it's sad, but good people. And that's why because I did have a conversation with Terry Cole's grandson about this project, but I felt like...
Sorry.
Yeah, no problem. Well, it's a thing. I felt like the story, so many people who were there in the beginning are gone. That you're never really going to get They are gone.
Yeah,
they went on to their reward.
Right.
You're not going to get an accurate depiction of what really was going on there. And the history is not very well kept because the newspaper didn't cover radio. And that's how a lot of people get their news stories. And I just felt like I don't think... This is more, it looked like more of a vanity project. Listen, if you're able to get recordings together and whatever, do that. But I don't think you're going to tell the story because I think it's impossible at this point.
I absolutely loved being on radio. I really did.
Yeah.
And as you know, I've been on the air since I was 15. What is it? Holy mackerel, that makes it 65 years. And I really enjoy being on radio, and I enjoy the production part. I enjoyed everything about it. And I remember a lot of the people that I did it with, and I really liked them. The people in radio tend to be outgoing, and I really liked that.
Well, some of the people I worked with were. It was just the core staff there that were there a lot. They were not...
Well, a lot of them were salespeople, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, but I mean, the program director was not always the most... you didn't have small talk about weather in the hallway. And a lot of the DJs were not very talkative. They'd go
really?
In and do that. No, not really. They'd go in and do their thing. I had a good relationship with Jeff Ruth. We would talk a lot.
Yeah.
Sometimes the newsman, sometimes not, depended on who it was. Some people were okay, some people weren't.
Yep.
But that was it, really, on the whole. So it was not... people referred to it as Brand X because of how,
really?
Yeah, how they would go to other places, and the atmosphere was not like that.
Huh.
It was a much more upbeat atmosphere.
Hmm.
So there you go. That's my soliloquy on that. But how do you feel about putting together the history of something after so many people are gone?
It's kind of tough, but the nice thing about it is you can do all the lies you want to.
Well, that's it, and I that's the unfortunate thing. Because I hate when history gets mistold. Because
it always does.
Well, if you mistell it enough times, then it becomes the truth.
True, yeah.
It becomes the truth. And I don't like that. Because I do think WMRN has its own great history, 86 years, on its own.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to make up things. You don't have to pretend and all that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I'm sure that even though the people that you worked with were reticent to talk with each other, I'm sure there were a lot of people that liked each other.
Just, oh, it wasn't a dislike.
They just didn't have the time to do something outside.
There was only one person in the entire time I worked there who I knew didn't like me.
I knew a lot more.
Oh, there were quite a few. But no, there was only one that severely disliked me.
Really?
And because of that, I just avoided them.
Yeah.
I didn't dislike them. I just thought, well, you're not very nice to be around, so I'm just going to avoid you. For what? Why, pick a fight every day?
Sure, no.
So that was it. But everybody else was fine. I mean, if I talked to them, they would talk. But it was just, like I said, it's shut doors and nobody in the hallways, and it was just a weird atmosphere.
A lot of things, good things, were started because of MRN.
Oh, absolutely.
Where they get up early in the morning and they all go down and they have that thing with the groundhog.
Oh, yeah, Buckeye Chuck, Buckeye Chuck,
that
yeah.
That was big,
yep.
And our old friend...
Charlie.
Started a lot of things out of MRN.
Yeah. But you know what's interesting about that is, again, it's just Charlie did not go on the air, and I think I have this right, until 68. WMRN went on the air in 40.
Yeah.
There's a whole era.
Was he there from the beginning?
No.
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 Okay.
And there's a whole era. He would only been 5 years old when it started.
Oh.
Or 6 years old. But there's a whole era of radio that he wasn't there for, but people think it started with him.
Yeah.
Because that generation is still alive that was listening in the 60s.
Charlie was such a wonderful guy.
Nice guy. I
really enjoyed him.
Well, you know, we had an interesting conversation, because this was actually the time of year that he died. I don't know what day he died, but it was late May. I remember that, because it was over the Memorial Day weekend. Because I remember he died on a Sunday, and Memorial Day was Monday, and we came back on Tuesday and did the tributes.
Hmm.
But somebody asked, because one day, this is an interesting subject, we were talking about, I was having a conversation at the grocery store one day, and they were talking about a work mom, somebody at work who was kind of like a work mom. And I thought, what is work mom? What does that mean? And somebody who is kind of like your mother at work, I guess.
Oh.
And I told him, I said, I don't have any work mother. I've never thought of anybody like a motherly figure at work. And I don't think I've ever had anybody that I thought of as a fatherly figure in life, except your own mother and father. And somebody called in and thought, they said, well, you didn't think of Charlie as a father figure? And I said, no. We didn't have that. It wasn't a bad relationship.
He was just a friend.
Just a friend.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw how we interacted.
Yeah.
It was not anything. It was just friends.
Yeah.
We would talk about the ills of the world and talk about what was going on the show and what he was going to do that day and what I was doing. And
I only got together with him for maybe 3 years, two maybe. And our relationship was very warm almost immediately.
But he wasn't like your father.
No.
No. No. Well, how would you describe it?
just a close friend.
Yeah, right. I mean, I don't think that that emanated off of him. But I know a lot of listeners felt very positive because he would tell stories.
Yeah. And he always had a smile to me.
Yeah. Well, there was a day you peroxided him in the studio and...
That was not... He was not smiling.
No, he was yelling that day on the air.
Oh, he took a terrible fall.
I don't want to laugh, but I know the punchline to this story. He took a fall outside and really scraped
his arm badly, and I put peroxide on it.
While he's on the air, you came and put peroxide on it.
Bleeding and in pain.
Oh, Lord.
He needed it, or he would have gotten... some sort of terrible poisoning.
He was unhappy that day.
Yeah, I'm sure he was.
Well, what can you do? You bandaged him up.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
But no, I mean, it wasn't like that with him. It just... Nice guy.
Yeah.
Nice guy. Fun to work with.
I don't know anybody that I would think of as a mother or a father other than my mother and father.
Right. I think that's it. I think if you have a good relationship with your mother and father, I don't think you look for that in other people.
I don't even think of my father as my father.
You don't?
No, my father was a minister, and he spent most of his day in his studio. He had an office in the parsonage, and he spent an awful lot of his day preparing his... What do they call him in church?
I don't, anyway. Sermon.
Yeah, I guess it was. He would prepare his sermon and his message to the people. And then he did an awful lot of going out and visiting people. So I really thought him as just a very nice man that lived with us.
Well, there you go. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you'd like to weigh in on anything, feel free. We've got about 22 minutes left in the broadcast today. But I just think that idea of a work mother, work father, whole thing, I don't understand that.
You couldn't have a better mother or sister than I had.
There you go.
I had an absolutely... I can't understand how my sister was so wonderful, but she was. And my mother was much like my sister, but my sister was just closer to me. But she was 10 years my senior, so... Kind of like a big sister, you know?
Yeah. I don't. I think if you know your mother, and I think if you have a good relationship with your mother or your father, I don't think you look for people to step in that role.
Yeah, probably not.
I think if you don't, you might.
Well, the one thing I did appreciate about both my mother and father is they loved coming to all my different games and watching me play football and basketball and baseball. And even when I went to college and really screwed up, you know what my dad said after I screwed up? I spent a year at Butler playing football, and I really screwed up. I mean, I did a lot of drinking, a lot of carousing. And when I came home, I just felt horrible. And I said to my father, "Dad, I'm sorry. I wasted all that money." He said, "Don't worry about it. We just spent a few $1,000s on getting you socialized."
There you go.
Yeah, and that made me feel a lot better. And I did finally get my degree because of my father's support like that.
Now, see, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And this was the man who just stopped by and lived with you.
Yeah, well, he didn't. I mean,
he had some fatherly moments.
We did love him.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people are fascinated, I think, by the fact that you are so devout in your atheism. And yet your father was a minister.
I don't that like seems to ironic. Think of myself as devout in my
But you say it a lot. I think there are a lot of atheists. I interviewed a very prominent lady in the community who admitted to me in an interview, because I said, "What do you believe happens when we die?" that they were an atheist. They said, "Look at the facts," and basically it was, "I'm an atheist." They called me and wanted me to take that out of the interview, because they did not want, because they did go to church for the socialization, and they did not want people to think that they were an atheist. But I think you're so willing to mention it that I think people find that a contrast to your father being a minister.
Not around Mary Ellen. She doesn't like me to say that.
See, there you go. There's somebody who does. She scolded you one time during
twice
a
twice she scolded me. And I will not say it around her because I respect her a great deal. But I've told a lot of my friends who say, "Why are you an atheist?" I usually say back to them, "I'm a better Christian than you are." And that's hard to imagine an atheist being a a good Christian. I follow the teachings of Christ almost religiously.
But the question is, with your father being a minister, that seems like an ironic turn.
It is ironic, but I mean it. I want to treat people like Christ would treat them, but I don't believe there's a man in a white robe sitting up in the clouds knowing everything I do.
Do you think your father believed that?
I've wondered about that a lot lately, especially as I've gotten older. Dad and I have had some serious talks about how his preaching was difficult at times when he wasn't sure what he was saying was correct.
So he had doubts.
He had doubts.
Well, maybe that's where it came from with you.
Probably, yeah.
Is that you saw a man of the cloth doubting what he was saying.
And my brother absolutely was agnostic way before we even knew what the word meant.
No. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Now, did your father like that?
My father was very respectful of it. He was very kind to me. I had a wonderful family. I cannot complain about my mother, my sister, or my father. I do complain about my brother occasionally. He was a capitalist. He loved money.
Well, Matt and I had this conversation, maybe it was last week, because, it wasn't Memorial Day, but somebody I know wanted to go and visit a cemetery that they had never been to and that I had never been to. Because somebody in the last year was buried there. Okay, so we go out and do this, and it's just me and this other person in the cemetery. It's a small cemetery, nobody around, no houses, nothing. It's out in the middle of fields, not even an office. There's nobody around. So we're out there, and this person, we finally get to their grave, first time we've ever been there. It's a beautiful sunny day a couple weeks ago. We're standing there. And the person got out of the car, and it wasn't anything derogatory, but they started talking to the person who was dead, and they said something that person probably would not have liked had they been standing there. And the moment they said it, a huge wind blew their cap off their head and blew it 20 feet almost into the road. To where they had to walk down into a gap before the road, into a hole, to get it. And they came back with their cap, and they said that was really? Them. And I said, has that ever happened before? Your cap blown off your head like? No. Now, okay, you can say coincidence, and you can say it was just the wind and all that. But, boy, that's awful strange timing.
I have a strange tale about the cemeteries. My mother and father are both buried in Crown Hill in Indianapolis, which is a very beautiful cemetery, huge. But they were both cremated, and they both are in a same plot. And 10 feet away is John Dillinger's grave.
Oh.
And so it's kind of interesting. Every time I've been there, there's been a red carnation on that grave.
Now, who's still putting that there all these years later?
I wonder that. Yeah, well, it's been a long, long, long time since I've been there, so they probably aren't still, but kind of interesting.
Well, the Gypsy Queen's grave here in Marion.
Yeah.
Pennies are always, and it's always been.
Is that right?
Yes, and who does that?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I think I cannot say definitively anything. You know, that to me. Yes, I get Martin Short, you know, whose wife died of cancer and daughter recently committed suicide, was giving an interview recently on, I think it was the CBS Sunday Morning Show, and the lady was asking him about that. And he said, you know, when I was younger than 20, I lost both my parents and my older brother in a car accident by the time I was 20. And he said, you know, I was really broke up over my brother because he was in a car accident and they couldn't show him and so on and so forth. And he said, one night I was completely broke up by this. And I went to bed and he said, I had this vivid dream, almost in color, that I was with my brother and we were at the lake and I was talking to him. And he said, when I woke up, I was absolved of almost all my grief. because I felt that I had had a visitation with him. Now, he said, if you tell that to a theologian, they're going to say that was a visitation from your brother telling you everything's okay and everything's going to be okay. If you tell that to a scientist, they're going to tell you that was a young boy coping with his grief and that's how you did it. He said, either one could be true. I'm going to go with the one that I like better.
Well, I like that idea.
Yeah, and that's why I don't understand why people don't err more on... It's the same thing with the hat story in the cemetery. I don't know. Could have just been the wind. But I'm going to err more on the side of maybe it was something. Maybe it was something. I don't know.
I'm the other side of that. I assume that it's all just part of what just goes on. You know, it's just... I don't think there is anything that is supernatural about that.
Right. You're
but it's
right.
Fine with me if you do believe.
No, and I
love that you do believe it.
Well, I'm not saying that I believe it.
No, I'm not saying
you. No, but I'm just saying, I'm saying that it, what would be the reason to doubt it?
There's no reason. That's why I'm a lot like Neil deGrasse Tyson. I don't doubt anything until it's been proven wrong. So let's let it go, you know.
Right, but I mean, what is your explanation? Just the wind?
Yeah,
just
yeah,
circumstance.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
Does it?
Oh, sure.
Really?
Have you never had your hat blown off?
No, I've had my hat blown off, but I've never been talking to somebody who first time I've been at their grave, and I say something negative that they wouldn't like, and then I'm there the rest of the time, and nothing happens, and everything's hunky dory.
Well, you. That's good, because that means you're not saying bad stuff about people.
But you, but see, in your theory, though, it doesn't matter.
No, I don't think it does.
See, I don't know. I don't know.
If it does, that's good.
All I'm saying is I don't know. If I spend eternity blowing people's caps off when I don't like something, good. If I have that ability to do that from the next world, I'm happy.
I'll tell you what, I'll blow your cap off after I'm done.
You're going to blow it off? Yeah. Say, oh, that was Glenn. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944, if you got anything to say. I guess I just get confused by the people who are so definite.
Yeah, I don't think that, I should be definite about anything like that.
It couldn't have been that. It couldn't have been anything.
You can't prove it one way or the other, so just keep quiet and let the person enjoy what they believe.
Right. And why... so many people commit suicide, and I would have to guess that suicide is hopelessness. Okay, well...
It breaks my heart to hear anybody.
Well, think of what you have to get to for hopelessness. Mm. So I would rather people have hope. Hope is not, you know, when somebody is sick in the hospital and they're telling you they're not doing very good, logic is they're not doing very good. But hope, I think you still hold out hope until the last minute. And I think that's what all this depth stuff is.
That's an interesting, as I get older, I try to think, what am I going to think about as I'm reaching that point? And I'm not quite sure how I'm going to handle all that, but... I hope I have hope.
Well, all I'm saying is for example, somebody who's 100 years old. Mm-hmm. Now, you look at them and you think, boy, they could go at any minute. But I bet they don't get up and think that every morning.
One of our closest friends is 95, and I'm sure she does not think that way.
No, I don't.
And I don't think that way about her.
Right, but I think if you just took the age and the person, you would say, well, you know.
I have a lot of people that would, if I mentioned I have a friend that's 95, they say, oh, she must be dead.
Now, Mary out there is saying, I'm just hopeful. And I think that's right.
Good.
I think hopeful. Hope dies last.
Yeah.
That's the last thing you got.
Yeah, and I hope I don't get to the point where I'm so, I'm so overtaken by grief that I can't have the hope.
Well, you know, I don't know. What are, no atheist in foxholes, isn't that the same?
Yeah, but that's the same.
I think that's true for a lot of people.
Well, I don't feel that way, but yeah, I understand why you do.
Well, I had your bets.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Phone lines again are open. 9 minutes left in the broadcast today.
You're never going to fix that piece of tape.
I'm trying to put this tape back on the microphone, and I am in the darkest.
It's funny to watch you doing that. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm trying to get you. We put a piece of tape over the switch.
Oh.
So people don't switch the microphone off.
I promise not to switch it off.
Now, well, yours looks pretty good. Your tape doesn't look like it's going to go anywhere. It's bright green neon duct tape.
Don't touch me. Duct tape. Yeah.
Duct tape. Anyway, I can't get it to stay on. 740-383-9944. Well, what's on your mind with the last 10 minutes, Glenn?
I wish the United States of America would find a way to deal with her people in a loving way, like the opposite of what our current administration believes. I cannot understand why people hate each other so much that they say the things that they're saying right now about other people. Let's live together. Let's all work together. We're all Americans. Let's all work together to try to build America rather than tear it down. And I hate the idea of tearing our nation down, because I love America, and I just hate what we've come to. And the sooner we, and I'm sorry for you people that enjoy Mr. Trump, the sooner we get rid of him, the better I'll feel.
Well, how do you think the midterms are going to play out?
Well, I think the Democrats have a strong hope that at least in the Congress, it'll be taken over by Democrats. If that's the case, that'll be helpful. But I think we need to win both houses.
Well, now that Matt's gone, how do you think the gubernatorialship is going to go in Ohio?
I like Miss Acton. I felt a little bad that she has been less than outgoing. She doesn't seem to be a great politician. I mean, she doesn't get out there a lot. As a matter of fact, I wrote her a little note, and I'm sure she never saw it, that said, I'll help you with your PR if you need. Because she needs somebody to help her get out there and say the things, because I think she's saying the right things.
Well, I think her problem in general is going to be, she, I think, believes that an interview or interacting with the media is a good way to screw up her campaign.
Right, she could say the wrong thing.
Right.
That's true.
But, so she believes she's, I think she believes she's got it, so she's playing it safe. I don't believe she's got it.
I don't either.
And that's ultimately her problem. And I have seen candidates do that, and it's interesting because you don't hear from them after Election Day.
Well,
they go away.
Hillary Clinton thought she had it too, I think.
And avoided the media.
Yeah.
Avoided the media,
exactly,
and look what happened.
Yeah.
Trump would call into every show anytime because he understood, good or bad, people were going to hear from him.
And he likes to hear his voice.
Yeah, but it worked.
Yeah.
And it got even if it, when he said something bad, they gave him attention. It was free publicity.
I just wish he would quit saying whatever hits his mind. He just does not hold to any truth.
Well, I'll tell you, a lot of people are talking about his health. And I don't.
We're almost the exact same age.
Yeah, but people age different.
Yeah, they do.
And I don't know.
His birthday's coming up soon.
I believe June.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll be 80, I think, won't
yeah,
he? Yeah.
He's exactly like me.
But I, you know, they say his ankles are swollen, and they say that his back of his hands are black and blue. Well, and they say he's, you know, got cognitive problems, and
you'll be best to tell me if I have.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Yeah, thanks.
But I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know. I think somebody would report if he was ill.
You would think, yeah. You know, the one nice thing about being my age is that I'm enjoying working with my cognitive, whatever that word is, because I know that I'm having troubles remembering people's names, and but it doesn't scare. It scared me at first, but now it doesn't scare me. I'm proud of who I am, proud of what I've done, and proud of the people that I know. I have so many friends like you that are very successful and very thoughtful. You got to build your brain. That's what's best about being a a good person. Build your brain.
How do you feel about America as we approach the 250th anniversary?
I am disappointed with how terrible the 250th anniversary is going to be because of Mr. Trump.
Well, what are we going to do? I mean, what is the plan? I mean, here we are about a month away, and I haven't heard much.
Well, I think we're going to do exactly what he wants to do. You know, we're going to talk about him.
Is it just going to be a bigger fireworks show?
Yeah, probably. That's the way I see it. But.
I can't figure out. I mean, I know there are little things going on in Marion, like there are ice cream socials and things like that, but I don't. The fair's going on. They do fireworks every year. Okay.
Well, you weren't around in the 200th.
No.
I was, and it was very nice, but it wasn't as big as you would expect it to be. So I don't expect much out of it.
Well, it doesn't seem like people. It almost feels like that eclipse that we had a few years ago.
I thought that was cool.
It was cool, but the lead up was much bigger than the day.
Not for me.
Remember that traffic was supposed to be backed up weren't supposed to be able, you couldn't go down the street.
Yeah, it was a wonderful day, though.
Yeah, but you could.
Yeah, you could.
I mean, there was nobody on the street. Yeah. And the parking lots were not full.
We were all sitting around watching the eclipse.
Well, remember, the hotels were supposed to be all full la-di-da. Yeah. None of that happened. I mean, it was a normal day.
Yeah.
Normal day. I mean, we did an event out in Steak and Shake's parking lot, and I can report that Meyer's parking lot was not even full. Yeah. And there were two hotels right there. So, people played that up more than I... And you didn't hear a thing when it was over. You got the news report that day where people showed what they could show and got the reaction, and that was it.
I'll tell you what, though. That day really inspired me. I don't know why, but that day was huge in my heart. I loved it.
It was a busy weekend. Maybe that... Because I had just come back from Philadelphia. I had just gotten back that morning, and I had done the WWE Hall of Fame, and I had went to Manhattan, and I'd went to Constitution Hall, been to the Liberty Bell. I'd been all over that weekend. So I was flying... I just flew back in that morning and did the eclipse thing. And it was...
Well, you would have been pretty tired, I would have thought.
I was tired. You know, I slept on the plane a little... I think I slept. You never really know if you fell asleep or not.
Yeah.
But I, because the plane ride is not that long between Philadelphia and Ohio.
Think, yeah.
No, like 45 minutes or something like that. But I do remember they give you a drink, usually a soda if you want it. And what's the cookies they give you on the plane?
Oh, yeah.
They have a brand. Bisquick
yeah.
or...
Yeah, something like that. Not quite that, but
yeah.
close.
Yeah. Well, they give you those, which are very good.
Yes.
And
sugar cookies.
Yeah, now they sell them in the store, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But you get those, and that's what you do on the plane. You eat those and drink your little soda, and you get your little table out.
Anytime I'm eating, I'm happy. And you can tell that by looking at me.
Well, and that was pretty much what happened. So, but I don't remember. If I took a nap, it couldn't have been longer than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But it was a fun day.
Yeah, I was amazed, and I was just amazed watching the whole thing happen, and I guess it was about 3 or 4 minutes, and it just inspired me.
You know what I thought was weird? That it got dark and cold.
Yeah, it did.
Immediately.
Yeah.
And like a wind picked up.
Oh, I didn't remember
that. Yeah, a little bit of a wind, so it was good. Well, we were 3 hours.
Good.
Isn't that amazing how quick it goes by?
Yeah.
Well, you have to come back in and do this more often.
Well, not a whole lot more often.
Well, what's wrong with that? You've had a terrific time here this morning.
My butt hurts.
No, it's a good time. Do want to remind people, I'll be back tonight, 8 to 10, live on this station. And Matt did tape a show before he ran off, so there will be a new Matt show tonight from 10:15 to 11. Glenn, thanks for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me.
For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Is in Charlotte Ray.
I'm not, you know, they made Mrs. Garrett perfect, which was ridiculous, as I wrote in the book.